Patriots, and it is Memorial Day. And in reference to that and this war that we are fighting, all of us, which is, I wish, you know, sometimes I wish when I say that it was just like hyperbole or something, but it's not. We're literally involved in one of the most vicious wars in the history of humankind. And the problem for so many is that they can't see it because it doesn't take the form that Hollywood has portrayed war. But with that, I want to begin with that discussion I have each day about Bard's Fest and the Slipper Revolution. If anybody has experienced war, it's Mike Lindell in this climate with his company MyPillow, who has literally been assaulted by the left with their cancel culture nonsense, as we've seen Americans try to intentionally and American corporations intentionally try to close down a company because he stood up for patriotism, because he's tried to defend the vote, and because he's a Christian. And that's the sick part about this whole thing. Mike has a great company. He's built a company from nothing to what it is today. And they've currently canceled $65 million in sales from him. So we're making a rally call to all patriots for Bard's Fest to see 1 million My Slippers sold by then. And of course, whatever else you want to support him with in your purchases. You can use the Bard's code B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, and use that to get your savings on his site, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, or you can just go to MyPillow.com, scroll on down the page to the radio listeners square, click on that, and there's all sorts of promo stuff there. Anyway, take advantage of it. It's pillows and it's other and it's slippers. But we're trying to get everybody rallied around the slipper revolution because on the 27th of August, Mike's going to be speaking at Bard's Fest and we're going to be sporting our slippers. And if you run into somebody who's being particularly nasty about our president, about you being vax-free and loving God, just use that slipper to slipper smack them. That's the best thing. Slipper smacks or slipper slaps, however we do that. Someone just wrote, slap on, slap off. That's the perfect comment for this morning. All right, Patriots, so slap on and slap off. Get those slippers on your feet. Oh, man. I'll tell you, I love Patriots. In spite of all the craziness that we deal with, we still have a great sense of humor and we endure it with that. And I'll tell you, there's no more powerful weapon in this war than being able to laugh at your enemy and the stupidness of this world, because it is here. So remember the Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S. Use that. Spread it around to as many people as you can. Let's make this thing rock and roll. We really want to do something great at Bard's Fest and celebrate the return of his sales from dedicated patriots. All right, so I want to start this morning with some interesting quotes that I don't know if people know this or not, but George Washington was very anti-party. Now, just so I say it, I'm not going to be doing the Federalist Paper number 66 today, and it's primarily because it's not in line with what I want to talk about on Memorial Day. We'll do Federalist 66 paper or paper 66 tomorrow. George Washington was anti-political party. I want to read you a quote. There's a couple of them. Let me now warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party. The common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another. In government purely elective, It is a spirit not to be encouraged. He also wrote, however, political parties may now and then answer political ends. They are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. It's amazing that these words are written over 200 years ago, almost 240 years ago. And I comment frequently how our framers in this country, the founding fathers, understood the nature of people and the nature of politics and the nature of government so well. They knew what was coming. And it wasn't that they were some sort of gifted seers. They had just studied the human model so thoroughly, and they had experienced tyranny themselves through their lives, that they understood not only the functions and ultimate ends of those that rise to government and government power, and how power corrupts absolutely, but they also understood the nature of people. And right now, that's one part that I think we all have to face, and face very honestly, is the nature of who we are. This is a government that is intended by design as an experiment for the world to be ruled by and for the people. The one thing every one of us needs to get into our hearts and our minds is this. There is no other refuge but this. If this country falls, the world falls. And in this time, one of the things that we have to be able to see, and we have to be able to live again, is the interest in people being part of the government. There is, in the last 4 years, in particular with the Q program, and with the presence of President Trump, there has been a motivated participative, listen to these words, a motivated participative apathy that has settled into our nation. And it centers on idol worship. And it centers on a principle that people are happy to stand around in a rally and be motivated to say, God bless America and hoorah, Mr. Trump. But at the end of the day, there has been very little desire to get out and do something. One of the greatest blessings we've had was that President Trump stepped off the stage. He did it gracefully. He did it peacefully. And he stepped off the stage. All he's ever asked us to do was to be loud. And that came in his July 3rd speech at Mount Rushmore. It was time. It is time to be loud. It has taken us almost a year for the public to awaken to that point. And it's happened not because of the love of country, I hate to say it, but it's happened because of the fear of being destroyed by a tyranny that's pushing a vaccination. That still strikes me as a very sad statement, especially on this Memorial Day, when we have so much to fight for and so much to defend by a constitution that's rare in this nation and rare in the history of man. A form of government that was given to the people, to entrust in the people, to hold government accountable, knowing the government would try to make itself more powerful than the people. A Declaration of Independence that framed out our rules and what was given to us in inalienable rights. And yet, getting people to embrace that and to defend that has been nearly impossible. However, waking up to people dying, children having blood clots, people losing their speech, being mandated to take an experimental injection, being mandated to use vax cards, that's personal. That affects people's daily lives. It becomes an issue that people are now inconvenienced. And in that way that we have become as a nation, that inconvenience finally is beginning to wake people up. The question is, will it last, and will it sustain for the bigger issues of what we face? We are a very selfish nation. And there are many people around the world that are looking at us and shaking their head. And I can assure you, because I'm talking to them, they're literally asking a simple question. What the hell is wrong with you Americans? They understand what tyranny is. They understand what we are, what they are witnessing before us. And most people now that I know that have been from different parts of the world are stating that we're done as a nation. That they have seen this before, that for them this is like deja vu, and they have considered it that we are too weak as a nation to stand against this tyranny. That we've sold our soul too far down that life of convenience and self-consumption. And with that, there are many patriots that are also asking the same thing. So on this day, I also want to remind everybody that 3%ers get their name from the 3% that secured this nation. And it never took the majority. It just took a dedicated minority that was fearless, ruthless, and was convicted to the simple principle that they would have freedom. And so again, we are here. And it will take that dedicated 3% to win this. We are in a difficult time of a nation deeply divided, and we are deeply divided on the line of politics. And if there's any institution that has now become deeply corrupted with that division, it is our military. Our military is also deeply corrupted on the principles of this injection. It has leveraged the injection. It has used its corrupted nature by certain senior leaders to encourage or even, I won't say force, but heavily persuade soldiers to take this experimental injection. There is no founding for this. We are dealing with institutions that we've become dependent upon in our minds, thinking that we can't live without pharmaceutical, that we can't live without government, that we can't live without public schools, that we can't live without nightly news, we can't live without a newspaper. We can't live without the convenience of Walmart. We can't live without the convenience of Costco. All of these agents are part of this current war on America. They have turned their position and vectored themselves into mandating how our rights will be implemented. And so many are acquiescing to their demands for fear of losing their convenience for their self-consumptions. How many people are taking these injections for the principles of not wanting to be able to travel or not being able to go to a restaurant? It has nothing to do with the virus. They've given themselves up to be willful lab rats for the simple principle because they're so damn weak they can't avoid standing against tyranny because of the lack of having a latte or an ability to cruise together. This isn't freedom. That's literally something that I can't even describe. I don't think there's a good word for it other than lazy ass might be one. These people are not representative of what the spirit of this country was built upon. And when people give in to this, they are only seeking to benefit themselves. This nation was built on selfless dedication by our patriot founding fathers to give to a nation for something for future generations yet unborn. They spent their lives, they sacrificed their wealth and honor to do just such thing. Let me read to you again. I've read it a couple times this last week, and I want to continue to keep it forefront. The importance of the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence, and again, the last two, which I think are very important. The main body of the Declaration of Independence, by the way, are the detailed violations, the evidence, so to speak, the facts that was justifying their break. But the first two paragraphs and the last two paragraphs establish some of the most profound words in a document of a nation. The Declaration of Independence is the founding document of our nation. And in spite of what the left would try to tell you that somehow it's not part of the actual Constitution, they're very wrong. Our country is built on the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. All of those were approved by the governance of this nation. The government at the time was the Continental Congress. It approved the Declaration of Independence and therefore established the first foundational piece of how this nation would be created. So as it states in Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to become and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And it continues. The critical piece always here is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everything about this COVID nonsense has been about taking away the unalienable rights. That people have allowed themselves to let tyrants assume that they have control over those rights that were given by God. This is a problem, and the worst is the problem of the irrational thinking, which is driven ultimately by fear. And as our founding fathers would say, and say regularly in the Federalist Papers, passions, not reason. Reason. Passions being emotions. Governments don't have the right to remove these laws unless you give them the right. And it is critical that people understand that once you give away something to get it back is a tremendous fight. I am honest when I tell you this. This is not intended to be dark, but it should be enough to put some fire in people's belly. Our country has been given away by weak and spineless people who have been blinded by fear and unable to walk forward with the strength of what it is to be a patriot. People that have never spent time studying our Constitution or our history to truly understand what it is that was sacrificed for their right to get a Big Mac and fries and a drive-through window. Sounds silly? That freedom was the freedom of somebody by the name of Ray Kroc to buy a business and to build a global franchise. And whether or not you agree with the politics of McDonald's, the inception of McDonald's came from a guy who worked his tail off, who bought the franchise from a couple of brothers and turned that franchise into a global brand. It happened here. It happened in this country because of the freedoms we are given and the right to pursue our life, our liberty, and our happiness. But the idiocy of this period of time right now is that life and liberty and happiness are somehow set on hold because a media has told you and told the public that there is a global pandemic. People are dropping dead everywhere. And for the fear of a zombie apocalypse, which there's absolutely no visible evidence of other than what they get on a square TV or I guess we're at HD now, so we'll say a high-definition TV, brain box, people are taking in their visual truth and not looking around their world to realize what they have and ceasing to question the motives of what's happening. When a governor in a state says, you must comply, people say yes. They don't say why. When a governor in a state says, bow, people bow twice. This sort of weakness goes to the very core of how our country was designed not to be, and yet how it's become, because people in the end of the day have given up one of the fundamental issues in their life that's in the basics of this country's creation, which is what? A belief in God, and that God provides the higher order of rights that are inalienable. They cannot be taken away except by God himself. That means that in this time, we must fight for those rights because they are God-given. And if you're giving them away, the hell that you get is well-deserved. When you give away your rights of something that God gave you, Patriots, you know, I don't even know how to say this other than it's a sin. And it's the sin of the highest order because you've been given a gift of free will to use it and to choose the destiny of a country, to be given life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness as you will choose to walk it with God in your heart. And when you turn your back on that, as a nation, if we continue to let this go, we will receive the just deserts that comes from such a thing. And the problem with all of this, and this is particularly endemic within our military right now, is people are losing focus on what this means. They are believing in politics and they are believing in media over the right of what the Declaration of Independence demands, or offers, I should say. But in order to have a nation, we have to have these views. Otherwise, we have nothing more, anything different than anybody else has in the world. We are a unique nation to guarantee these rights in the principal documents of this country. Most countries' free speech is given by some edict, not by a proclamation that they are unalienable rights. And the Bill of Rights comes from these ideas that there are certain rights that are absolutely guaranteed. And yet tyrants continue to rise and people continue to bow. This goes on further when you look at it isn't only the right. And this is the part that I always find striking when we read the Declaration of Independence closely. And it's this sentence: but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object devises a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. We seem to forget that second little clause there. It is your right, which means you have a right to do it, but it is equally your duty as an American to throw off this government. Let that sink in. This is not an issue of, well, I don't feel like it because it's my right, but I choose not to. That's not what the rules of this country are. And when we are as Americans, as part of this nation, we are empowered with the principles that we are to ensure that tyranny never rises here again. It isn't a choice as an American. It is our duty as an American. That is what your requirement is as living here in this nation, as a citizen of this country. Being American is something. As Teddy Roosevelt said, there is no 50-50 American. You are either an American or you're not, and I agree with this. One of the great back doors to try to undermine our Constitution is to import people through the visa program, and to put them in key positions of influence. If you notice, what they're doing in tech is they're bringing in people from India. India, no offense, but you all don't have a damn clue about what a constitution does and what the Declaration of Independence is. And until somebody from India comes here and becomes a citizen, bringing in somebody from India that has no ideas of all men are created equal, coming from a class-based society, giving them power to control social media and to manage free speech, means you've handed it over to somebody that doesn't have an appreciation for what the defense of that means, and hence it is by design. We are a symbol of the world, and it's a symbol of the world for what humankind should be. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that takes a responsibility and a vigilance. For those in uniform, if you're listening to this, drop your politics at the damn door. This is about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. For those of you that think that taking an injection, you're saving the world, I got news for you. The only reason you took the injection is because you're in uniform and you don't want to be kicked out. And you want to still be able to deploy. You're not saving anything. And for those of you in uniform that are trying to take positions and justify what you're doing based on who's sitting in the White House, whether you like them or not, is not your damn job. Your job is a defense of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That is politics free. That is media free. It's before you. So make a choice on this day of whether you're going to stand with America or whether you're going to stand with tyranny. It's that simple. Take the face out of what's supposedly in the White House and start understanding who's really pulling your strings. This is a corporatist war versus the people. I'm going to read the last two paragraphs. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. So I want to stop there a minute and put this in reflection. This is one of the most profound paragraphs to me in the Declaration of Independence. The others on the top of the Declaration of Independence establish the framework of what our duties are, which are incredible when you consider that in a nation, our founding fathers have given its people the duty to overthrow tyranny. That in itself is amazing. But when we get to this paragraph, this is equally stunning when you think about what is being said here. Many of the colonists, the majority of the colonists, came from England. They had ties there. They had brethren there. They had family. And they are making a statement that even though there are blood bonds, those that have stood against them in this pursuit of peace, in this pursuit of liberty, in this pursuit of living free, those that have stood against them and not listened to them, who have denounced them, who have turned a deaf ear, they are now holding them, as with the rest of mankind, in other words, the entire world, enemies in war, in peace, friends. This is where we sit once again. This is a place that right now we are sitting, where we have family who have turned their blind eye towards what is right. They have ostracized them, us members, because our belief is politically not in line with theirs. Their obsession with being turned into a transhuman with this injection is seen as their choice. Our attempts to convince them, to give them warning, as is said, we have warned them from time to time of attempts of their legislature to extend an unwarrantable justice over us. We have done just that. And as was then, as is now, we must now declare them as enemies and war in peace, friends. We are making a stand for this nation, most importantly, a stand first and foremost for God. A country that is blessed and was given to us by God to lead, and be given the choice to use free will to determine an end of a country that would be led always in the principles of "In God We Trust." That is being threatened now. It is being threatened by both people in uniform and out. It is being threatened by people in our government and out. It is being threatened by people in our country and outside of our country. Those of us that have that flame of liberty and fire, that want to put God first and fight for it at all costs, must now establish a hard line and proclaim openly, enemies in war, in peace, friends. This is the hard line. It is that line that we draw, that is the uncrossable line, that under no circumstances will we fall into their pit of darkness. Under no circumstances will we give up this nation for their stupidity in politics and their inability to see, for their weakness in accepting media's lies over the truth, and their inability to listen to the warnings that we've given them in their attempts to waken them. We can heal these places, but for now we must stand firmly on that line to understand exactly where we are going and what is at stake. And it is a costly decision when we do so, because we know that it could cost us everything to do that, but it is the only way it will be won. It is a firm line that we must now take that's unwavering. Otherwise, this nation will be lost. You cannot sit on the side and wish for somebody to come in and save it for you. That has never been the case. We must stand firm together in order to take it back. I'm going to read the last paragraph. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that a political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states we have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." We must make that decision that we are going to totally absolve ourselves of any sort of relations with this corrupt government. We must make a stand as patriots who with Christ in our heart, that we will not move forward in a country that does not place "In God We Trust" as the principal foundation of all things that we do. We must understand the power of those alliances and the tools that we have to use them and to fight them, I should say. We are in a place right now where the greatest tool that we have, the greatest tools that we have, don't have to be ones built on the musket. Instead, we have the tools of organizing. We have the tools of unity. We have the power of faith. Those tools of prayer and Him. They sound unusual, but they are the principal issues of using our gifts and talents in the many ways of this army to the fullest capability possible. We haven't begun to fight even with our own voices yet. We're just now starting to surface. And one of the most powerful weapons of war that we have is commerce. Making a brutal choice to totally step away and brutally and suddenly to dissolve corporate leeches in our lives. You have to get away from the dependence. We have to get back to independence, taking care of your households, getting your children out of public schools, bringing the church back into your home, building a garden to offset your need for the dependence on the corporate supply chain for food, getting back into making our own clothes, becoming dependent on local communities which we create, not that they create for us. Creating networks that we can start to rely on, that we can start to live in a godly way, looking out for our neighbor and loving our neighbor as we would want to be loved. I think every one of us here knows that if a neighbor and patriot is in need, we will do what we can to help them. Maybe it's we can only afford a dollar. Maybe we can afford food and supplies. Whatever it is, we are working together to overcome this tyranny. And the more allied we become in this war, the more powerful we become in this war. Together we will fight and win. Divided we will sink and die. The one thing is that we have to make that solemn oath amongst ourselves, that we must pledge our lives, we must pledge our fortunes and our sacred honor in order to take this nation back. That means both men and women in uniform and out of uniform, men and women in the public eye and out of the public eye, men and women that are on the public payroll and those that are working privately, and men and women in this country and outside of this country. This is far beyond our borders now. This is a war against humanity. We're at ground zero. But don't think that we don't need the support of others around the world, because we do, because fellow patriots are fighting together around this globe for the singular thing to bring liberty back to their lives and to throw off the yoke of tyranny that seems to be settling in everywhere. In the end, we assume as patriots the power, and we not just assume, but we take the power to levy war, and we are levying war right now against this tyranny. We have the right to conclude peace, but it is peace with justice, and we will bring justice to this land. We have the right to contract alliances. Those are alliances across our borders and outside of our borders of people, both American and foreign, that are of common mind and spirit. We can establish commerce because we will do commerce amongst ourselves, not amongst the corporately controlled empires. And do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, to convene freely, to speak freely, to spread the truth willingly, and to provide for our common defense. This is a time right now more than ever that we have to start to realize a couple of very harsh and brutal realities. Our Constitution is at best suspended and most likely dead in the current state of affairs. We currently have no leadership in our country. Even a rightfully elected president, President Trump, has gone silent as we drift. Rallies are not leadership. Be clear about that. We need firm leadership in our nation to lead this nation through these dark hours, and we don't currently have it. That means that we have to stand boldly together, to work together, and let God lead us all. That's the important principle. And as God leads us and guides us, we will rise together in strength. We have a military that is deeply divided and fragmented over politics because they've lost their way in understanding what their true oath was about. It was never about a political party. It's about a constitution. And because of politics, they become so willfully blinded. I don't care whether their alliance is with President Trump or whether their alliance is with Biden. The principal issue is always the same. Is the Constitution being upheld? And what is their role in defending it, both from enemies, foreign and domestic? Right now, our enemies are everywhere domestic. And like it or not, the only true defense of this nation will come from we the people. So it is time to stand. So on this Memorial Day, commit yourself. Commit yourself, your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor. Stand strong. Build your communities out. Get ready and keep going. Don't just hesitate. Don't talk about it. Be involved and understand that we are the strength of this plan, and together we will take this nation back. One person at a time, one connection at a time, one community at a time. This is our hour, and it is our time to stand boldly with God and with the fellow patriots around this nation and around this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings given to us in this great nation. We thank you for the rights given to us as the people of this great nation. And we are reminded on this day of our commitment to defend that which is given as one of the greatest gifts in human history. A right to use our greatest gift from you, free will, to choose those who rule us, to make the choice to keep you before us in all things, and to ensure that this country remains a country blessed by you and blessed by all that has been given for our freedom. Let us walk boldly with Christ in our heart. Let us walk boldly in this fight, understanding that the greatest weapons of war that we have center on our listening to you, our following the path of Christ unwaveringly, and knowing at times when to flip tables, but always standing for truth. Let truth be our greatest weapon in this fight, and may the sword of the Spirit rain down on all that we do. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. A bold time, a time to decide to be an American or not. It's time to choose. Let us choose wisely for ourselves and our future generations. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. This is going to be a difficult climb. These people that have entrenched themselves in the hatred of this nation with the design to dissolve and destroy this nation from within will not give up easily. And those weak and mentally corrupted that are following that line of thinking, that believe that politics somehow is greater than our Constitution, may they find their way. But until then, enemies in war, in peace, friends. And right now we are at war. Keep your prayers up. Prayers give clarity. Prayer gives guidance. Prayer gives focus. Prayer is warfare. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. In fact, God wants us to stand and to explore and to be bold as his children. So let us do just that. A Christian is not a weak soul that sits in a pew, nor are we a doormat. We have patience. We have temperance. But when there is finally an ultimate line that's drawn before us, we must choose. And that choice is now. I choose God. I choose my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor for the sake of all that was given. Because I know that this fight is a worthy fight. And I also know that God will always win. I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.